Good to be with you this morning. I hope that something I prepared to speak to you this morning will be beneficial to you in some way. There's a statement that is made by a lot of men that get up here and that stand in the pulpit around the brotherhood that they want you to test what has been taught. They want you to check what they're saying. They'll say, I want you to not just trust what I say, but study it out. Make sure of it. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about testing the spirits. I want to talk to you about testing what we hear, confirming the teaching that we hear, testing what is taught, testing from the scripture, and ensuring that not only that we are following what is written in God's word, but that what we are taught and that what is around us is either accepted or rejected by the word of God. And not only that, but that through understanding of what is right and through an understanding of scripture that we can compare what is taught against the scripture and that we can help others to understand the truth of God's word. Or we can find that we are wrong in some way and fix something that we are failing in because of a test from God's word. There's several passages that kind of go along these lines, and I think especially for the speakers that stand up here and say something along those lines of asking you to test the scriptures, there's several things that kind of go into that. Matthew 18 is one of those, which talks about if someone offends you, the process to go through to handle that situation. But also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul talks to the Corinthians about confirming what is taught and making sure that they're doing everything in a service in a meaningful and proper way. But I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 15, it says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." I don't think any of us would want to be called simple. The simple believes every word. The simple believes everything that is taught. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you this morning. I want you to take what I'm saying because I've worked to prepare this lesson and I've worked to prepare something to teach you about. And I want that to be important to you. But I don't want you to just listen to it and accept it because that's what a simple person does. I want you to be comparing what is taught against the Word of God. The wise person will take what is taught and will gain from it, but they will be sure of what they hear. There's quite a few requirements from Scripture that tell us to test what is taught, to take what is taught and to confirm it. In John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their process of searching the Scriptures. In John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, it says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." Christ says, you're looking at the scriptures and you're saying, this is what gives us eternal life, but you're not looking at it and accepting that the Messiah is standing in front of you. The Pharisees didn't want to listen. They didn't take a true test. They were required to test. They were told to search. And they searched. But they didn't listen. They didn't listen to what the word truly said. In Acts 17 and verse 11, a verse that I think we have to pretty much end up at if we're talking about this kind of thing. And in Acts 17 and verse 11, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." The Bereans looked at the word and they compared it to what was being taught by Paul. They compared it to the admonition and the instruction from Paul. They compared it to the story from Paul of Christ Jesus coming and dying on the cross for their sins, of a Messiah coming, and they looked at the Old Testament scriptures and they said, okay, that makes sense. But they looked. They searched the scriptures. They listened. They were willing to hear. But they confirmed the information before they believed it. They confirmed the truth. Despite what the world will tell us, there is truth. There is definite truth. And the scriptures give us that. And the Bereans were willing to look at the scriptures and find that truth for themselves. They didn't just listen to the person that taught them. You know, I think it would have been pretty easy to just listen to whatever Paul said and go with it. Because he, from what I understand from scripture, he spoke with some authority. And, I mean, they saw the miracles. They heard about them. But they still were willing to search the scriptures to be sure of what they believed. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." John tells the Christians that he's writing to, do not believe every spirit. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to everything that is taught. Confirm it. Be sure that it is a spirit of God, that it is someone who is teaching with the authority of God. Be sure that they are teaching what is right and righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The importance is on the Word of God. The importance of our spiritual lives should be focused on the Word of God. That is where our information should come from. That is where our teaching should come from. And that is what we need to be looking to for the comparison against all others. So how do we discover truth? I think critical thinking is a very important part of being a Christian. Now, I don't know how to teach critical thinking, but I can tell you what the scriptures tell us about what is important and about what the truth is and how we discover what is true. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, Moses writes in the Mosaic law a description of what they should look for, what the Israelites should look for in a prophet, and what they should examine and how they can tell whether a prophet is a true prophet of God. In Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5, it says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you should not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. He says if there's a prophet that comes along and says that they have information, that they have information beyond what you've been taught, that there is other gods that you should follow, that there is other information that you should know other than the word of the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, you shouldn't follow it. There's another passage, and I don't remember if I have it in here or not, but there's another passage that talks about if a prophet's word comes to pass, that's the only time you believe them. The scripture is full of information on false prophets, on understanding who is a false prophet and knowing how to handle those situations. And Moses tells them, put the man to death that was telling you false prophecies. That was the fate of anyone who brought false prophecies in the Mosaic law. In Matthew chapter 24, Christ admonishes his disciples in a similar way. In Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." He says, many will rise up in his name, saying, I am the Christ. And there are many also who will come saying, I am from Christ, but don't teach the things that he taught. But don't teach the word of God. There's a lot of trouble that goes on continuously in the world around us. There's a lot of problems that go on in the world around us. And there were many who have come, who have claimed to be the Christ in his second return or something along those lines. But he says, the end is not yet. We'll know when the end comes. There will be no doubt. There will be no man that comes and says that he's the Christ, that is the true Christ. We will know when the end comes. But he says, don't believe what's going on around you. Don't believe those who will say that they come from me or that they are me before the end comes, because they're not from me. In Matthew chapter 7, he continues this in a way. He says, beware of false prophets. In Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. There's a lot of so-called preachers. There's a lot of so-called teachers in this world of Scripture that they're real. The thing that is really important to them is the money in their pocketbook. And you can tell that by the way that they act. and the way that they handle themselves in their teaching. A true disciple of God doesn't usually care about the things of this world. A true teacher of God's word wouldn't necessarily pay attention to the money that they're receiving. They're wanting to teach the word of God. That's what's important to them. Being able to handle the things of this world and get through and function is necessary, but it's secondary to the word of God. And there are many who, in many other ways, show by their fruits that they're not teaching the word, that they're not teaching what is right. You know, everybody sins. Everybody has problems. But a servant of God is not going to come saying that you should do the things that are against God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, it says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." The word is full of good things that we need to pay attention to. And we've got to hold on to those. We don't need to worry too much about the things that are going on around us. We don't need to worry too much about the evil in the world. We just need to hold on to what's good. Because in the end, that's what allows us to reach that home in heaven, is when we hold on to the word of God, when we follow the word as the Lord gave it to us. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the writer is getting on to the Hebrew brethren that were the letter was written to. In Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And this is another portion of testing everything that we hear that we must pay attention to. When we test the word of God, when we test things against the word of God, we learn from it. When we test what each other say, both sides can learn from it. There's a verse, "Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We sharpen each other by continuously testing each other against the word of God. I think that's another reason that we stand up here and we say, "I want you to pay attention and I want you to test what I'm saying against the word of God." Because if I'm wrong, if I'm standing here before you this morning and I'm wrong, I want you to tell me. Because I want to learn. And I don't want to be telling other people wrong information. I don't want to be spreading false doctrine. So if I'm wrong, I want you to tell me. The Hebrew brethren had not figured that out. They were stuck just accepting the base principles of the word and not moving beyond that. We can't get caught in that. So, when we test the word, there is a response one way or the other. When we test the things that we hear, we test with the word, there is a response one way or the other. There is either an acceptance of what is taught, or there is a rejection of what is taught. And sometimes it's just a portion of in either direction, but there is either an acceptance or a rejection of whatever is taught. There must be. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Even if we Paul says, even if I've fallen away and I'm preaching something that's wrong, or if an angel from heaven teaches you something that is not according to this gospel that you have heard, let him be accursed. That is a rather extreme way of saying reject it in all ways. Don't listen to it. If it's not the gospel, if it is not the word of God that has been given to us, that has been passed down to us, then it is false doctrine. In Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, it says, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Avoid foolish disputes. Don't dive into things that don't matter. Don't spend all your time trying to figure out what color something should be when the word doesn't say anything about it. There's so many things that can be lumped into this that are constant problems in the world today. Don't engage. Don't involve yourself with them. Reject a divisive man. Reject divisive intentions. Follow the word and stick with that. In Colossians 2, verses 5 through 10, Paul again writing to the Colossians here, he says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There's a lot of things in the world today that are based on how people feel. There's a lot of things that are taught as truth that are based on how people feel and how people perceive the world around and not according to any form of truth. Paul told the Colossians to beware lest anyone cheat you. And that's cheating them out of salvation. Cheating them out of a home in heaven. Cheating them out of being right with God. He says, beware. Reject that teaching. Now, the other side of this is that sometimes it's important that we accept teaching. It's important that we change the way that we think to fit the Word of God. And if there's something that we find fits the Word of God more clearly than what we have believed, we must change. We must accept. And that's what was done by the Bereans in Acts 17. Acts 17, verses 11 and 12. We read verse 11 earlier. It says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. These people looked at the word. They looked at the Old Testament teachings, and they said, this makes sense. And so they took that teaching and changed what they were doing. They changed from either following the old law, or it says also some of the Greeks, that meaning the Gentiles, those who were outside the house of Israel. They changed what they were doing and they turned to serve God. They believed. They believed what was taught and they moved forward to serve God more fully in the New Testament church. In Acts 18, read verses 24 through 28, talks about a man who found himself in the wrong position and fixed it. It says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. This man only knew the baptism of John. This is before Christ. So John came teaching Christ, but he came teaching a baptism of repentance. And Aquila only knew that. That's as far as he had gotten. But he understood it very well, and he was trying to teach that. And Aquila and Priscilla took him inside and said, there's more to this story. And he said, okay, let me listen. Let me learn. He accepted their teaching because it followed the word of God. And because he understood that, he was able to then go. And it says, vigorously refute the Jews publicly. He argued the truth. He knew the truth. He had been taught the truth, and he accepted it. And he took that and used it to, from the scriptures, teach that Jesus is the Christ. He didn't know it before. He taught the baptism of John, who came before Christ. But as soon as he knew, he was able to teach from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He wouldn't have been able to teach from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ if he hadn't compared what was taught to the scriptures. He knew it. He accepted it. In Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, one of the greatest examples of conversion that we have, says, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And Paul had a miraculous conversion, but still, he accepted what was taught him. He accepted the truth, and he moved forward to teach, to preach that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, to preach that the Messiah had come, the one that he had fought against. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 38, Peter realizes that the Gentiles are also allowed into the body of Christ, and he changes his opinion. In Acts 10, verses 34 through 38, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he continues to teach Cornelius and his family about Jesus Christ. Gentiles, those who were outside the house of Israel, those who for a millennia the Jews hadn't had any dealings with. This was their culture. This was their upbringing. They didn't deal with the Gentiles. But when Peter realized that he was wrong and that that was not how Christ handled things, he accepted and he taught. He did what he was supposed to. I want to leave you with one final verse in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We have been given our mission. We have been given a job to serve God. All men have been called to obedience, to repentance, to come to God and to learn from Him, to be washed from their sins in the blood of Christ Jesus. If we have accepted that this morning, if we've been baptized, these are the things that we are supposed to be thinking about. We are supposed to keep the good and the right and the true in our hearts and minds, to meditate on those things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. That's how Paul wrote to the Philippians. And we have all those things from the Scripture. The things that we have learned, received, heard, and saw in the Scriptures, that's what we should be living for. So this morning, I hope that you're comparing what you've been taught to the Scripture, because that's what we need to be learning from. That's where we need to be receiving, because that's the only way to eternal life. I hope that this has been beneficial to you in some way. It was interesting to kind of build this out for me, and I hope it was interesting to you. If there are things that I said wrong, I want you to tell me. And I want you to go forth and do the same with anything that you hear. It doesn't have to be from the pulpit. It doesn't have to be anything that is trying to be scriptural. Anything that you come across, compare it to the Word of God. I'll leave you with the lesson this morning. If you're in need of spiritual help from the church this morning, if you wish to be baptized to start your walk with Christ, or if you've been struggling with something in your life and you want the prayers of the church to help you with that, to strengthen you, and give you a boost to get back on the road to repentance and correct service to God, I ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front pews. We stand to sing the song that's been selected.